This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your girl, Jessie Mae Peluso. Thank you for listening. If you wouldn't mind rating the pod 5 stars, I would be eternally grateful. 5 stars helps my pod, and it's a little gesture you can do to let me know that you're enjoying this podcast. And if anybody wants to leave a voicemail and have that possibly be played for the show, you can call us at 513-916-0930. Call the pod to have it played on the pod with any questions or comments, and keep it cute. Right? We like to keep it cute around here. And speaking of keeping it cute, I'm going to be keeping it cute in the Netflix is a Joke Festival, May 10th, here in Hollywood, California, at the Bourbon Room. One night, one show. Come see me live. A few of my friends will be sharing the stage with me. It's going to be a fun time. Let's all laugh together. Life is wild, and it's short and sweet, so let's enjoy it together. JessieMae.com for tickets. And today's episode is a solo journey with myself, and I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode of the Sharp Tongue Podcast with me.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's gonna get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh.
Talk about my dog sometimes.
Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's gonna be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're gonna get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the episode. This is the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your diligent host. Happy to be here. Happy to be back. I got sucked into the Sedona vortex of the desert, and I'm going to tell you how I overcame a big fear. It wasn't even that big of a fear. It's not anything that I think many people are scared of, but I overcame it, and I was really proud of myself. And I'm going to talk about the Sedona vortexes. I don't know if you know what they are. I didn't really know what they were. I'm still not quite sure I know what they are, and I was in them. And first, I've got a couple absolutely nots. This new segment for the podcast, Absolutely Nots, where I talk about things that are just not okay. First and foremost, I went to a dentist. Now, if you listen to the podcast and have been a loyal listener and subscriber, you know I've had a couple gripes and problems with dentists, specifically in Los Angeles, specifically during times when I am grieving. I'm a firm believer that when you're grieving, you're not thinking properly and you're more manipulatable. I don't know if that's a word. You're easily manipulated. I like manipulatable. You're definitely more susceptible to scams. And because of that, in the past, I've had a couple dental mishaps I was put under against my will. That was a big, big issue. That was like last year. And that dentist actually got, the oral surgeon got fired. And I probably could own a dental office right now if I were litigious and wanted to go after it. But I didn't. Then I've had a couple people in Los Angeles drill into perfectly good teeth. How do I know they were perfectly good? Well, I first moved here and a lady drilled into my teeth. I didn't question her. I never had cavities as an adult prior to that, but I think I was overwhelmed moving here and I let this woman drill into my teeth. And then 6 months later, she said I had 4 more cavities and I was like, what? And then I said, okay. She goes, I'm very embarrassed by your teeth. I need to drill now. And I'm like, I'm going to pause on your drill happy dream and go back to Syracuse and have a second opinion on my mouth, which I highly recommend for anybody listening. Get a second opinion on your mouth. It's not going to hurt you. Unless your teeth are throbbing, go to another dentist. It might be a pain in the ass, but I'm telling you, some people will drill when they see anything. And so I went to my dentist where I'm from in Syracuse, New York. I said, can you look at my teeth and see if there's anything you think I need to have done? He looked at my teeth and said, your teeth are perfectly fine. I said, no cavities? He goes, no, I don't see any need to do anything in your mouth. And this is a dentist who had a very successful, popular, established business. This isn't like Design Dental on the side of a highway in a strip mall in Salina, Kansas. No offense, but some of these places are just pop-up shops and you wonder why they're drilling into your teeth. So because of all of these situations, I'm on high alert for dental scams. And I go into my new dentist, who I thoroughly enjoy. The office is great. Everyone's got personality. You walk in, you're like, wow, is this a casting office? And that's the thing about Los Angeles. It's kind of intoxicating sometimes. Everyone's on. And so you get lured into an office. You're like, oh my God, drill into my mouth. Everyone's so nice. Take out all my bicuspids, by all means. I went to and got regular cleaning, and then they said I needed a deep cleaning, which how many types of cleanings do we need? Shouldn't the cleaning be a deep cleaning? Shouldn't the one cleaning be a deep cleaning? Why are you giving me a light cleaning? You want me to stay single? Clean out my teeth. But I do really love this dentist office. But I also know my dental history and I know my teeth. I know my genetics when it comes to my teethies. So I went to the dentist and the main dentist does a check after I get this deep cleaning, which one of the funniest things happened when the hygienist, who's amazing, was cleaning my teeth. You know, she's getting in there and they have to numb you because they go all the way up in your brain. They slice up into your gums and they're cleaning out your pineal gland. So she's in there cleaning and she goes, oh, popcorn. Hadn't had popcorn for a week. Hadn't had a kernel of corn for a week. And I go, wow, girl, that thing was taking up shop. That literally was a pop-up popcorn shop in my gums. And she was impressed that I was honest about how long it had been since I ate popcorn. I was like, well, I'm impressed that that little sucker embedded himself in my gum line and thought to hang out for a while. What was he planning on doing? And she said, that's what would cause you to have some gum disease. And I said, damn, am I a chihuahua? I thought that periodontal disease was just for shih tzus and Pekingese. So she does her thing. I'm all good. I'm all happy because I got a deep clean, whatever that is. Then the main dentist comes in and she tells me I have three cavities. And I just looked at her and I was like, wait, what? Don't tell me I'm back where I started in Los Angeles, because on the outskirts of this grief cloud that caused me to not have as keen of an observation and intuition like I normally do. So I'm coming back to those two powers. And you're telling me that I have three cavities. I don't feel anything in my mouth. But the thing is I really do trust this dentist. This office, this new office is legit. Can tell they're on top of it. They don't feel like scam artists. They just feel like people who love what they do. And this girl, this hygienist who did deep cleaning, loves teeth. And I said, girl, something's not right about you. In the best way, because you love teeth. I think it's weird. Just because it's weird doesn't mean it's bad. And she's amazing. So I trust her. But when the doctor sat down and told me I had three cavities, I said, I think we need to take this to court. I need a jury. I just don't buy it. And so they were like, would you like to schedule the drilling for your cavities? And I said, no. It's kind of like, I believe in Bigfoot. I believe in Bigfoot more than I believe I have three cavities. That statement couldn't be any more true. I believe in Sasquatch more than I believe in my enamel that has become weak. Not happening. Not me, not now, not never. So TBD on the cavities. I did schedule the other side of my deep cleaning because they could only do one side. That's how intense it is when you get a deep cleaning. They're not doing both sides. They're doing one at a time. You better just grin and bear it, literally grin and bear it. So I did schedule the other side of my teeth to be deep cleaned, but I did put a pause on the cavities because I'm getting a second opinion and I will come back. I will do a cavity reveal with you guys and let you know, did something happen in my mouth? Because maybe something changed in my mouth, but I know my body and I don't feel like I have any cavities. And also, like, what if my girl does a deep clean on the side that the doctor said that there were cavities in and the cavities weren't even cavities? Maybe it's just peppercorn. You ever think about that? Can it be peppercorn? So to my cavities, I say absolutely not. And there's another absolutely not that I thought about while I was traveling. I was traveling to Arizona to cleanse my soul because life has been a little hectic lately. I'm sure a lot of you have felt it. Making decisions is harder and finding peace amidst the noise can be a little bit more difficult, especially in depending on where you live. I live in a metropolis. I live in a city that is filled with millions of people and the communities are spread out. It's not like a normal small town. So it can be very loud. It can be very difficult to create and find your own peace. And you have to work a little bit harder at accessing that calm. So I had to get the hell out so I could get back in. I was driving and there's so many religious signs on the highway, like billboards. And I've talked about this before. Like when you drive through Utah, you're reading the Bible on the side of the highway. You are literally reading Bible passages. And you're like, I just read the Bible, like not the book, billboards. And I almost crashed into a family of four. Like I can't drink and drive, but I can read the Bible on the side of the highway. What is God's problem? Why does he need so much promotion? Isn't Jesus an icon? It makes me worry that Jesus needs that much marketing. Maybe he should hire my boy Renzo on TikTok. Have him help him out. If Jesus is struggling that bad, and it seems like Jesus is struggling because of all the damn billboards, you're going to make me crash. And then what happens when I get to the pearly gates? Whose fault is it then? If I don't get the best treatment when I get into heaven after dying because I crashed in my car because I was reading your word, Jesus, we're going to have a problem. Okay? Because I'm going to require VIP travel to the pearly gates. Yes, you better believe Jet Suite X or one of those fancy independent jets better get me there. I also want comfort travel. I want all my favorite food, all of my dogs I've ever had ever, as well as everybody else's dogs will be mine in heaven. I want the finest linen, your linen, Jesus, the original linen. Yes. I want the OG threads. Okay. Cause I'm going to be walking around in your sandals sitting on your throne because I read your book on the side of the highway and this is what got me here. So to Jesus, I say absolutely not. Just keep the Bible verses to the book. It's a lot to read on the side of the highway. Here's one. Having doubts about the story, you're not alone. And there's like pictures of, I don't know, someone walking through a forest. God's remodeling his temple. Isn't it time for you to remodel yours? I don't even know what that is. It's like a temple contractors quoting the Bible on the side. Oh, it's for plastic surgery. It's another billboard in Utah, which is a fun one. Just says God loves gays. That's fun. I like when people are like, homosexuality is a sin. And then across the highway, it's like, God loves gays. It's a fun little argument. I like when people have passive aggressive arguments on billboards. But Utah has a lot of wild ones. And if you listen to this podcast years ago, I called the number because there's a number that seems to be floating around. It's 855-4-TRUTH, F-O-R-T-R-U-T-H. They have sponsored a lot of the billboards on the highway through Utah and maybe throughout other states in this country. But some of them are aggressive. Like one has a picture of a burning fire and it says, where will you spend eternity? AvoidSatan.com. I'm just trying to get to Big Bear. Like, how do I get to Big Bear? I'm just trying to get to Sequoia National Park. Why are you threatening me, Jesus? And then there's the one, it's on the side of a farm. I think it's through Kansas. It says, no God, no peace. And it's like, no God, no peace. And then no God, no peace. And it's a play on the no, no. Like no as in knowing and no as in absolutely not. So to God, I say absolutely not. To your signs that are going to cause me to crash on the highway. There's one in Los Angeles that is on the corner of La Brea and Fountain. I could be wrong. I don't even know if those two streets intersect, but there's La Brea and some other street. There's a billboard that says, thank God for blank. And it's really the most egregious billboard I've seen because it's basically God being like, yeah, thank me forever you want. Just, you know, I left it blank for people just to fill in whatever they feel they want to thank me for. You know, thank me for creating the entire universe in 7 days and, you know, no big deal. I did it alone. I built myself alone. No one helped me get to the top. You know, you could thank me for your life, your wife, breathing, that rib, the apple, whatever. You know, people can just fill in what they see fit and you know, just give me a little thanks. Like, does God really need all of that congratulations? So did you not create the universe out of the kindness of your heart? You're over here asking us to thank you for it. Here I thought you were selfless. Turns out you sound like a narcissist looking for a little validation. I'm just worried that God needs so much validation and marketing in the first place. here's a real question for the table. If I crash into something after reading a religious billboard, whose fault is it? Mine or God's? So to God, I say absolutely not. I also stopped on my drive. I drove to the Grand Canyon, which I had never seen before. I've always wanted to stop by it. I've driven by and crossed this country a couple times back and forth. I've always wanted to see the Grand Canyon. I never had an opportunity to stop or just didn't want to stop traveling with my dogs. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to check it out. And it is absolutely worth seeing. It is magnificent. It's huge. It's vast. It leaves you in awe looking at it. It's absolutely breathtaking. And it's so quiet for the most part. But the problem is, as we know, people be peopling. People be peopling. People love to be peopling. And what it comes down to, I feel, is we just can't enjoy nature. I never thought when I'd be out in nature, I'd want more nature because people. Because people bring boom boxes, because people have loud conversations. Everyone's a photographer. You hear clicks and beeps and the sounds of cameras reloading. What's going on, Ansel Adams? Why are we doing scenery shots right now? Is this your career? And you have to do it on this day around everybody else? Isn't there like a downtime? I feel like the Grand Canyon should have a time just for photographers to go and take the photo that 1,000 people have taken that day and they think is going to be the one. Now, I say this and I know my cousin Jimmy, who is a fantastic photographer, is listening to this episode and he's probably rolling his eyes. And maybe I'm being a jerk to photographers, but you know what? I don't want to hear your beeps. I don't want to hear your camera and your aperture adjusting while I'm just looking at the majesty of nature. Can't we just enjoy nature? Do we have to capture it so much? Maybe that's our problem. We're trying to capture everything and hold on to everything. We can't just appreciate it as it is. And people were so loud. Look, you want to take photographs? That's fine. It's just the long lens, the long Ansel Adams lens that really sent me. What are you trying to zoom into? A hawk's nostril? You trying to get the California condor? Trying to capture that elusive beast flying amidst the canyon of the Grand? It's just a little obnoxious. And maybe I am getting older. I'm fully aware and fully willing to accept that. I just can't accept people being so disruptive where other people may be trying to enjoy something in a peaceful way. And then I'm on the railing and I'm thinking about this video I saw on Instagram. This girl was like, I don't know if she was taking a picture of herself at the Grand Canyon, but apparently in the background, there's a guy doing a selfie and he fell into the Grand Canyon. Is it worth it? Are the photographs worth death? And I say that's modern Darwinism. I think technology has sort of sped up Darwinism for certain people because they're so focused on the technology, they're not focused on their survival. And it's an unfortunate truth. Hey, man, you didn't look where you stepped and you're taking a selfie. And then I had to Google it, found out the Grand Canyon eats about 11 people a year. I thought the number would be higher. I thought there were a lot more stupid people in the world than just that amount. Not that everybody who dies in the Grand Canyon is stupid. I'm sure some of them are jerks and they got shoved out over the edge. Hey, everybody. We interrupt this regularly scheduled program to bring you a word from our sponsors, Lumi. You guys know I can't stand when things stink. And there's a lot of stuff on our body that stinks. Places you wouldn't even expect to stink. Near your knees, behind your knees. That's a part that you wouldn't expect to stink, but sometimes it does. And not to mention the other parts that stink all the time. And as a lady, I always want to smell good. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Lumi Whole Body Deodorant delivers an outrageous 72-hour odor control. Go and have some fun everywhere from your pits to your feet. Yes, even your private parts. In fact, it was a patient's concern about their private part that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years and here we are on my podcast and we're going to give you $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with code SHARP. That's right, SHARP at LumiDeodorant.com. And that equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code SHARP. Because look, you stink. Trust me, you do. We all stink. So don't even try and avoid it. Get your stink off today with Lumi. Mmm. What body part is that? I can't even tell. It all smells great. I'm sure some of them got shoved right over the edge and maybe some of them deserved it. Who am I to tell? God and I will discuss that when I get up there after crashing from reading John 3:16. I had an appreciation for nature, but people made it harder to appreciate it on a deeper level, especially because there was spray paint and there was tags. Someone wrote Emily on a bar on the side of the Grand Canyon. And I sent it to my sister, whose name is Emily. But no Emily deserves to be up there. Why are we doing this? And then someone wrote stepdad. They spray painted stepdad on the guardrail. I don't even want to know what that means. Look, I could create a whole story in my head between Emily and the stepdad, and it's not going to go in a good direction. We all know what direction that's going to go in, and I don't want to go down that route. People made it very difficult to enjoy something so natural. And it made me question a lot. Made me question, am I becoming, like I predicted, Clint Eastwood? We've discussed it before. Is this what happens? Is this just a natural progression where you want to enjoy peace more and everyone else is like, no, we're going to scream into the Grand Canyon? Am I wrong for wanting to be able to have a peaceful moment in this majestic land? That's the question for the table when it comes to what I experienced. Because I was getting off my lawn all over these people. Then when I walked out, I was loud because there's a sunset, this beautiful vista for viewing the sunset in the Grand Canyon. You take a little bus and you get off at one of the stops along the Grand Canyon and you have this great vantage point to watch a sunset, and everyone's just so loud and the cameras are snapping and you think Beyonce is getting on stage, which I get it. Yes, come through nature. The sun is the Beyonce of nature. Let's be honest. She's a showstopper. She's bright. She's omnipresent and just beautiful. And it gives us life. But do we need to be screaming at it as it's setting? Do we? Maybe some people deserve to fall into the canyon is all I'm saying. So I can have a quieter sunset. And as I'm walking out, I started screaming at everyone, not directly, but just trying to disrupt their walk back to their cars because I'm a child. I was like, wow, did anybody see that sunset? Did anyone see? Oh, it was a sunset. Was that beautiful? How do you like it? And the worst part is nobody probably even noticed because everyone's too busy yelling at each other.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Speaking of yelling at each other, let's get to a couple Maybays mails. James emails me. If you guys want to email me, you can do so at jessiemapelusocomedy@gmail.com. James says, subject title, sponge. You got to pick and choose your battles from that episode. I appreciate your courageous stance. Did you hear the new SpongeBob movie is going to have nudity in it? Something about lost pants. I could check into it. James, if that's not a dad email, I don't know what is. SpongeBob has square pants. So are they lost? I don't know if SpongeBob loses his pants in a new movie. I have, in fact, never watched a full episode of SpongeBob SquarePants, but now I think I might need to. There's no way whoever wrote that show was sober. And if they were, I need to hang out with them because that's a perfect kind of weird. If that's sober weird, I'm here for it. Truly am. Alan R. writes me an email. Alan, I think, listens to almost every single episode and leaves messages on my YouTube page. He's very sweet. I could be wrong, but I do believe this is the same Alan. Shout out to Alan for being a longtime fan and listener. Hey, Jessie Mae, I enjoy your podcast where you revisited the 90s. When you mentioned shopping malls, I was reminded of one of my worst mall experiences ever. My wife and I were living in Minneapolis in August of 92 when the Mall of America opened. The grand opening was highly anticipated as the mall had some 450 stores and houses housed an indoor amusement park. I almost lost my neck on that amusement park ride. The locals were all recommending to stay away on mall opening weekend because the crowds and traffic would be horrific. Well, my wife's younger sister decided to visit us in Minneapolis on that weekend, and she had her heart set on visiting the fabulous Mall of America and shop for a new winter coat. I did not have a great history with the woman and found her to be a pain in the butt on numerous occasions. Isn't that what it's always like with your in-laws? I don't even have any and I know what's going on. Well, I have a brother-in-law, but him and I argue all the time and it's great. However, marriage forces you into many situations that cause one to make decisions based not on common sense, but on maintenance of marital stability and sexual satisfaction. You're a smart man, Alan. So being the loving husband, I agreed to take my wife and her sister to the Mall of America on opening day. It was such a disaster and the worst crowd traffic a situation of my life. I shuffled around the overcrowded mall with some 250,000 other folks while my sister-in-law visited 25 stores to try on winter coats. She never did find a coat to fit her fashion sense, but she did love the experience. Me, not so much. I suppose this was an example of how men and women view the shopping experience. Had I needed a new winter jacket, I would have headed straight to Eddie Bauer's section and bought one. Women seem to like the shopping experience. Men look at it as a buying experience. So I sacrificed a potentially relaxing weekend day to visit the largest mall in the country on the busiest day to keep my sister-in-law happy and my loving marriage intact. Warning, marriage does not mean compromise. Warning, marriage does mean compromise and sacrifice. Live and learn. Take care, Alan. That's such a mature email, first and foremost. And secondly, there is something to delaying your gratification, your own gratification, for the gratification of someone else in your life. But you have to be very careful about your delayed gratification, because when it comes to delaying it for the sake of someone else, you have to make sure that you're doing that out of the kindness of your heart. You have to make sure that you're doing that with no strings attached, spoken or not, to yourself or to the other person. Because those create resentments. Unspoken expectations create future resentments. It sounds like Alan didn't have any expectations, and it sounded like he learned that there are compromises and sacrifices, and you have to let those go without hoping that the other person also compromises and sacrifices or also returns and reciprocates. You have to want to do that without an attachment to the outcome. Otherwise, you are going to resent people in your life. I speak from experience. You have to really have this unattached ability to flow through life and make decisions, not based on what the outcome is going to be, but just based on your own integrity and your own conviction and your own ability to make that decision. Delayed gratification is a really important thing. I don't think we exercise enough. And I think COVID really made it harder for us because it's become the opposite, where everything has become gratified. You're hungry, just order it. It's COVID. You can't go out, so you order food to your door, and you had groceries delivered in. You wanted to go shopping? Well, you can't go shopping, but here's Amazon. You can click, 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 buy, 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 buy. And anything you want and everything you need is available at a click of a button. And we've seen what that does. Delaying gratification is something that I think is one of the most important things we can do. It creates anticipation and it creates discipline and it allows us to truly enjoy and appreciate something. And I think that's maybe one of my frustrations of the Grand Canyon, is that these people couldn't delay all that they wanted to do that makes them feel comfortable and satisfies them for the moment and for the sake of the greater good that are also trying to experience that moment. Do I want to listen to music? Sure. Do I want to be loud? Absolutely. Do I want to take pictures and think that I'm Ansel Adams? Sure. Do I want to eat loud snacks and be obnoxious? Absolutely. I'm a Sicilian stand-up comedian. That's my love language. But I'm going to delay all of what I want to do because other people are here, and I hope that they also are able to enjoy the moment and that it's not just about me. So I think we have to learn how to delay our gratification a little bit and find some sort of joy through the suffering. And find some sort of way to realize that on the other side of that delayed gratification is something so much greater than that moment of getting exactly what we want. And I think the only solution is we all enlist in the military. That's my solution. We all have to become Navy SEALs to really know what it's like to delay our satisfaction. I was going to say satisfaction. Making up a bunch of words on today's episode. So at the beginning of the episode, I wanted to tell you about the Sedona Vortex. And being in Sedona in general, I traveled there. I'd never been there before. I have been to many places in Arizona. I've performed in Phoenix. I've been to Tucson. I've been to Tempe. There's a bunch of beautiful cities in Arizona, but Sedona is known for its vortex. And in Sedona, I overcame two of my biggest fears. And I haven't felt fear like this in a while. I hadn't felt fear that visceral in some time. And so first of all, I was like, what's a Sedona vortex? Because it sounds like some voodoo. And it is some voodoo. But there is, depending on what you believe and what you experience, some truth per se to the matter. Sedona vortex, the proper grammatical form vortices, are thought to be swirling centers of energy that are conductive to healing, meditation, and self-exploration. These places are where the earth seems especially alive with energy. I can say I definitely felt that. And I looked up the vortex afterwards. I don't like to do any research like that prior to experiencing a place. I like to experience it in a virgin sense, with a virgin mind, and create my own idea and my own deduction from what I've experienced so that I'm not influenced in any certain way. So I can attest to the energy in Arizona being really different and very specific. So I agree with that. It says you may feel a range of sensations from a slight tingling on exposed skin, which sounds like a rash, to a vibration emanating from the ground when you encounter a vortex. Most often a vortex is felt by palpable sensation across the nape of the neck and the shoulder blades. Well, the vortex sounds like it's flirting. Let's be honest. The vortex sounds like it's trying to get to second base. And I'm like, come through, vortex. Let's do this together. Are you flirting or nah? Are we trying to do this? Because we can take it all the way to third base if you want, vortex. I'm here for self-exploration and self-healing. Bring it on. You've met your match. I'm a Virgo. I'm all about this vortex. Let's take it to the center because I've got intuition that's looking to shoot from heavens through my body down to the core of the earth and back. Let's do this together. I think the Sedona vortex is my soulmate. Is the energy in the vortex real? Scientists have yet to find examples of physical vortexes in Sedona. However, most believers in Sedona claim that the vortexes are metaphysical. You feel them within you and they cannot be explained with concrete science. It's a lot like faith, isn't it? We're talking about God in the beginning of this episode. Don't worry, I haven't turned into a crazy religious person. I'm open to all sorts of experiences and information, but there is something about faith. There's no real scientific evidence of it per se, but you feel it. It is a metaphysical experience and some of it can't be explained, but that doesn't mean it's not real. It says, where's the most powerful vortex? The Chapel of the Holy Cross is in Sedona. It's a unique experience. As many say, this vortex is in fact the strongest. Also listed was one of the places I had my biggest fear come up for me. The Cathedral Rock Vortex, unlike the upward flow of the energy at the Airpot Mesa Vortex, which is another vortex in Sedona, the energy at the Cathedral Rock Vortex flows down into the earth, perfect for those seeking introspection and balance in their overly busy lives. The Cathedral Rock Vortex is considered the strongest in the area. So let me tell you, when I got on this Cathedral Rock, which by the way, when we were walking up to this place, this couple told us that we had the wrong shoes. And I'm like, bullshit, we got the, how bad is this? The internet said it's a moderate hike. I'm here to tell anybody who's planning on hiking the Cathedral Rock, get proper shoes. I went on a Googling spree after this because I realized I had the wrong shoes. You can't wear Nike gym shoes on a Cathedral Rock vortex. Are you crazy? The earth is going to chew you up and spit you out. It's going to look at your shoes and be like, that's so cute, baby girl. Are you ready to die? Because this rock is very specific. It's rounded. It's soft. And there's a direct upward rock you have to climb. It places where you have to crawl on your hands and knees. It says the Cathedral Rock vortex embodies feminine energy, which is also associated with emotions, intuition, and receptivity. The energy can promote compassion, self-care, and emotional healing. People often visit Cathedral Rock for meditation and self-reflection. Well, let me tell you, I almost died on this damn rock. So let's meditate on that. I almost died on this damn rock. So first I'm in my head about having the wrong shoes, but then I got cocky like, no, I'm fine. These are Nikes. I got these off of Amazon. These aren't the wrong shoes for anybody. And we started a climb and you look and everyone is there. People are in a line trying to climb this rock. And so you have this like very moderate walk to the rock. And it's just through this patch of cacti and various desert flowers. And it's really kind of peaceful. It's like being in like a little city park. You're like, oh, this is so cute. You know, you might see a bench that says this benches donated by Mary and Tom Swanson. They used to come here all the time, and they were a couple, and they died, and they wanted you to sit on them forever in their memory. It looks like that sort of thing. And then you get to the actual Cathedral Rock, and it's unassuming at first, and then when you get up to a certain point, it is extremely intimidating. And this is just for me and my experience, but you get up, and then the rock almost looks like hardened lava in the sense that it kind of flows down. It's not rigid, so you have to be strategic where you place your feet. And there's certain levels to it and layers, and you can't go straight up in certain parts because there's no place to really grab onto. So you have to kind of snake your way across the rock. As I was climbing up to this next level, I could hear women talking to their men being like, "I'm not going up anymore. You're crazy. This is not safe. I didn't come here for this." So as you go up, there's various people sitting alone that are waiting for their spouses who continued on, because this rock is much more than moderate for certain people. If you're an avid rock climber, sure, you might run up this thing in your Vibram finger feet shoes with no laces and handle it with your Camel backpack filled with water. I don't know. Do you 172 hours? You could be an experienced climber and end up in between two rocks and almost die that way. I was out here battling between my ego, God, and my fears. The rock wasn't even that bad, but there was a certain part when I got up, and you have to go between like this crevice, and it's almost straight up, and you have nothing. There's nothing to hold on to besides the rock. It's you and the rock. And if you fall, I don't have a helmet on. There's no mesh. This isn't Disney World. This isn't like that little place where kids go and burn out their energy with the trampolines and all the fun little things they bounce into. This is real life. So I got cocky. I'm like, I can do it. So I get up to this one little part, and then these women are sitting like, "Nah, I'm not going any further." And a couple guys are like, "Fuck that. This is crazy." And then I hear my ego go, "Oh, you're just going to stop here? This is all you're going to do? This little moderate hike? You're not going to go any further?" So I go up a little further. And then there's this point where you're either going to turn around or you're going to go through the hardest part of the hike. And that being the straight up crevice that you have to crab crawl through. And also, mind you, you're having to do this amidst other people that are passing you. So you're battling your own ego. You're questioning your ability and your footwear. And I get up to this part, and you have to like get over this little bit. And I go, "All right, I'm going to do this. Because I came here and I overcame a fear earlier that day that I'm going to talk to you about that was ended up being a really fun one. But because I overcame that, I had some confidence to overcome this one. And I'm like, "Ah, fuck it. I'm going to do it." And I'm on this rock, and I literally like start shaking. And in my mind, I am terrified. And it's really, if you were to look at it, it's not even that bad. But in the moment of your own fear, it's so exhilarating. And I really wish I had pushed through it, but I wasn't in the right mindset. I was not in the right mindset. First and foremost, I blame an enormous chimple that I had to climb myself that pulled up on my chin that morning. This chimple showed up and it looked like something people could have climbed. That just sent my security and my vulnerability in all sorts of directions. And so maybe if I hadn't woken up with a chimple on my chin, I'd have more confidence to handle the chimple I was trying to climb at Cathedral Rock. They both looked the same. So maybe there was some sort of parallel fear and insecurity going on that showed up and manifested in that moment. And I might have had more confidence had I had clearer skin. I'm Joe Peluso's daughter, and he had horrible skin. So it's a cross I bear. I'll take it up with Jesus when I get up to the pearly gates. But I hadn't felt a fear like this in a really long time. And I couldn't go any further. I could not go any further up this rock. It did something to me. It showed me that there are still things I want to accomplish. It showed me that fear is such a great motivating experience. It's invigorating. It made me feel alive. I understood why people go rock climbing now. I understood that sort of adrenaline rush and the uncertainty and the battle with the self and all of the thoughts that are going through your mind. And this was just a moderate hike, but I felt so freaking scared. But I felt excited because there were a couple moments in the hike where I felt that a little bit, and I got over it, and I went a little bit higher and a little bit higher. But I told myself when I descended and came back down that I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and I'm going to climb this rock with the proper footwear, because I'm not trying to die in some Amazon Nikes. So I'm going to go back. I've already booked another trip to make it happen. And I'll have to give you guys a cavity follow-up, and we need a Sedona follow-up. I'm going to write it down right now. But the other fear that I got over that was more fun was this Airbnb was amazing, and it had this really cool property, and I'm not going to tell anybody about it because it's going to become that thing like in that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, The Beach. People find out and then they ruin it. People always ruin a good thing. Look what happened to Tulum. People hear about things and it just gets ruined. Everything that becomes popular. Chocolate chip cookie dough. Remember when that was just low-key ice cream flavor and now it's everywhere? Just want things to remain special. So I'm not going to tell anybody about this Airbnb. But this Airbnb had a cool property because it owned a bunch of land. And it owned land on either side of this creek. So it essentially had a private creek because the land surrounding where this creek kind of started was owned by them. And so they had a kayak, a bunch of fun stuff you could do, benches to sit along the creek and get stoned and look at the water. And they also had a rope swing. And I've never swung on a rope swing before. And it sounds so silly and so stupid, but, you know, I've been searching for mindsets of my youth to reinvigorate some joy and to bring back a little piece of my childhood awe to myself. I always try to reconnect with the inner child a little bit, and rope swings have always been something I wanted to try. I was so nervous to do it. I really was so, so scared, but I did it. My man who was with me, he had to do it first. And it's, again, something that is just not that scary, but in your mind, you create these blocks or you allow something to take up a bigger space than it really is in reality, much like the cathedral rock. This rope swing wasn't even that intense, but in my mind, it was terrifying. And I think putting yourself in a place where you've never been before and getting over that hurdle is one of the most important things you can do. And I hadn't done that in a really long time. I hadn't put myself in a place where I had to feel real fear, real physical fear. And it was so freaking invigorating. I grabbed that rope and I swung into that river that was 60 degrees. My nipples fell off, but a part of my childhood joy came back and it made me feel so happy. It really made me feel so excited and ecstatic. And it was one of the reasons why I actually even wanted to climb the rock afterwards in the first place. And it's made me want to do more things that scare me. And I think that that's something that we can do to sort of make us feel alive again, especially in this wild time where everything feels so different. And so I'm going to do more of that. I'm going to do more of things that scare me. I mean, I already live in Venice, California. That's scary enough. What more do I need to do? I can do that and just drive down the highway and read Jesus's passages. That's what I'll do. But maybe you guys can do that too. Maybe you guys can do some stuff that scares you. And if you do it and you want to share it with me, email me at jessiemaypalusocomedy@gmail.com and let me know what you did and how scared you were and how you got over it. Or if you're like me and it was too scary and you had to turn back, that's okay too. But I've got you, Sedona. I'm coming for you. Hopefully I don't crash on my way there, but I'll take it up with Jesus and the vortex. Have a good week, guys.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.